feel better?
Oh, yeah.
Rob's been waiting for this all day.
All day long. All right, this is the Baseballs and Boring Show. Jacob behind the glass. Gordo of the Play Tessie podcast. The Red Hot Play Tessie podcast at Play Tessie. The official Red Sox podcast of WEI. And myself, Rob Bradford of the Baseballs and Boring podcast, which we had the biggest month ever in, what was it, June. Biggest month ever. Biggest month ever. Ever.
Well deserved.
Oh, thanks.
Well deserved.
So, you guys did well as well.
Rafi gets traded.
And today, the good thing I like about what I do, and I love, you know, you guys are so dug in on the passion of the Red Sox fans. I get a chance to talk to people who I might normally never talk to. Like, I talked to this morning, I dropped one with Nick Martinez, the anatomy of almost throwing a no-hitter, what that's like. I find it interesting.
Just, what's it like to just...
I also like Taylor Rogers. Like, I talked to him, the reliever. Like, he's been traded three times. What's it like to be traded? Been traded at opening day. He's been traded at the trade deadline. He's been traded in the offseason. And he had a great line. He's like, I pack every piece of underwear that I own on every trip just in case. That's something we should all live by. Just in case. Right?
Just in case. When you go to work tomorrow or on Monday.
Yeah.
Bring all your underwear.
Yeah, I'm wearing seven pairs of underwear right now just in case.
Because you're prepared.
Yeah, just in case. Yeah.
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 This next level thinking.
I mean, they might call me in and say, hey, listen, you got to go on the road for 7 days.
And then you don't
have to
go
home.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yes, and it makes it so that when you get on the road, you don't have to go to Old Navy and buy underwear?
Nope.
Like, no.
Nope. Don't have to.
No,
do
you
it.
Don't have to go to Target.
It's called the Taylor Rogers, I don't know.
The Taylor Rogers mindset.
Taylor Rogers mindset.
Always be prepared.
Always be prepared.
And that's why he's so good out of the bullpen. Always prepared.
Sure is. Lefty specials. All right, this is the Baseballs and Boring Show, 617-779-7937. We have had some great people. We had asked people to tweet at us, at Bradfo or at BB Isn't Boring, where you're listening the show from, because, let's be honest, the day after 4th of July, you're probably not hunkered around the Philco in the middle of the living room.
Hunkered around the what?
The Philco.
I don't know what that
is. It's an old radio.
Oh.
You ever see, like, those pictures, like... when they're getting World War II briefings, they're all hunkered around the radio, hearing about
the
soap operas on the radio. Yeah,
my
point
is
like you're out and about. You're out and about, right?
Oh yeah.
So we have people everywhere, all over the place, I'll read them off in a little bit, but keep them coming at Bradfo, at BB Isn't Boring, and I will send you some stickers if you do it. So I appreciate everybody, all the support. All the listeners, all the fanaticism, all of it. Love it. All right. Again, 617-779-7937. But before we get back to the calls, I want to talk to you about the guy that we talked about before the break, Gordo, is Roman Anthony. So hear me out, okay?
Let's hear it.
Do I think – let me ask you this, okay? This is a tough question, but you're up to the challenge. Who is going to be – 3 years from now, who is going to be a better player? Roman Anthony or James Wood?
This is a mean question.
It's a mean question.
Because Roman Anthony has all the ceiling in the world, but how can I not pick the guy that today has a 950 OPS and is 22 years old?
James Wood's really good.
He is unbelievable. He gets intentionally walked four times. Like, that's four times in one game.
Answer the question. Answer the question.
I mean, I have to go with James Wood. How can I not go with James Wood?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's mean. It's a mean question. No, give Roman some time.
No, but here's... so. I did the exercise. First, I talked to James Wood. I sat down with James Wood, front of the program. Then I sat down with Roman Anthony. Then I looked up the numbers. And coming into this series, I looked up the first 80 plate appearances, which is where Roman Anthony was at. And the numbers were very, very, very similar from when James Wood got called up on July 1st last year. So... the point is that it took James Wood some time to get going.
As it does a lot of guys.
It takes Roman Anthony some time to get going. The one thing that you look at the Baseball Savant page with James Wood is lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, in a good way. It is crazy. I mean, hard hit, know, exit velocity, blah, blah, blah. It's,
wow, you're not kidding. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's all red.
Everything
97, 98, 99 percentile.
Yeah,
it is crazy. Roman Anthony isn't qualified a lot, but he's getting there. There's a lot of red, underlying red there. So my point is that Roman Anthony has shown enough signs to suggest that he can be in the conversation with a James Wood next year. Now, that's a leap of faith, but I will say this, Gordo. I am surprised about when it comes to Roman Anthony. This isn't the, well, you know, we think he's going to do this, we think he's going to do that. Everybody you talk to the Reds about the Red Sox, we know he's going to do it. We know. This isn't Christian Campbell. This is we know. Like, I interviewed Pete Fassi about him the other day. I said Roman Anthony, and he said stud. Actually, he said expletive stud. Stud, right? About, they love the way he controls the strike zone. They love the way he hits the ball hard. But everything about it, everything in the organization, they say, this is the guy. And how we know that is, holy mackerel, he doesn't hit anywhere other than second or third. He's hit second or third, I think, 15 times of his 21 games so far. The lowest he's hit in the order is fifth. So that tells you what they think of him. And now, Gordo, now we're starting to see the byproduct of it. Now we're starting to see, okay, this is going to be part of the solution, not part of the problem when we come to the post-Rafi Devers stuff, which is that wasn't the case in that week after the Devers trade.
What wasn't the case?
Roman Anthony was not part of the solution.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, because he's been red hot for about a week.
That was a very uncomfortable time because you had gotten rid of the guy who was the guy hitting number two in the order. You had replaced him with this rookie. You were having him hit against lefties, not looking that great. And then all of a sudden, boom. And the quote that he had with me when we did the podcast the other day, Roman Anthony, I love this quote where he said, you know, there hasn't been an at-bat where I've felt overmatched yet. I haven't gone up into the batter's box and said, you know, I can't hit this guy.
Nor has it looked like that at all.
No.
Maybe, like, the only at-bat where he looked maybe a little overmatched was the Reed Detmers against
LA. The one
LA.
They should have pinch hit for.
Yeah. But, like, no, but he's not wrong at all. I mean, he's 21 years old, and to be honest with you, his at-bats since, what, for the last... I'd say maybe since his like fourth or fifth game have been pretty much the most professional at-bats on the team.
So what you have now, we think, is we do have that guy who deserves to be in those spots. Like, I don't think he deserved to be in those spots when they initially put him there. Do you?
Well, I mean, yeah, with rookies, you have to earn earn your way into
right.
that.
Right, but now...
I know he's a
now you
kind
have
of
that...
Still.
It's all about vibes, right? You have the Roman Anthony vibes, correct?
Roman Anthony vibes are always good.
Yeah. So, well, now they are.
Even at the beginning. I know he was, let's see. He started off his career 0-4, 1-4, 0-4,
I'm not even talking about, no, I'm just talking about, I'm just talking about vibes. Like, I'm talking about the guy that you say, okay, he's going to come up in the order, and you feel good he's going to get a hit.
That, you're right. That vibe has only been for about the last week.
That's all that matters. That's the only vibe that matters. That's the only analytic that matters. It is.
That is the only analytic that means anything.
It's WXVIBE.
Seven games, he's hitting .379, .989 OPS, five doubles.
Okay, so let's play this out. What we talked about, what you need at the trade deadline. All right, you have Jarren Duran, okay? I still think part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Like, I still think there's something in there that he's going to flip a switch and get going. That's me, that's my opinion. You have Roman Anthony, right? Okay, like we've already said this. You can run him out there. You can feel like he's a middle-of-the-order guy. You have some of these other guys who now are hitting and where they weren't hitting after the Devers trade. You go down the list. Narvaez, Abraham Toro, Romy Gonzalez. Who am I missing? Well, obviously, Trevor Story's now hitting.
Oh, yeah. That's the one.
But this is the biggest thing. When you look at that road trip, everyone was hitting 170 or under. Everybody. And now they're not. That is Sedan. So you have all these guys. Now I think what you need, that last piece is a puzzle, because you didn't ask me what I thought they should get at the trade deadline. Go ahead, ask me.
Rob, what do you think they should get at the trade deadline?
What a question. I wasn't expecting that. I think absolutely middle of the order, like a Kyle Schwarber type.
I agree with you.
A Kyle Schwarber type. I don't know if that can be Matt Olson. I don't know. But that sort of guy that you feel like, okay, and preferably a guy who makes some contact.
A guy that you can hit in the order next to Alex Bregman and teams think about
it. And we have, like, that's another part about it, is Bregman. So now you have Durant, Anthony, Bregman. Boom, boom, boom. Okay? Then whoever. Story, Narvaez, whoever else. You're on your way. Now we're not sitting here like we were a week ago saying, how the heck are they going to score a run?
You know, no, it's not like that anymore. No, right now it's not like that. But we've seen this group be that. We've seen them be that team as recently as a week ago. When we talked a week ago, they were that team.
So it comes back to this question. I want to get to it after we do the trend. What exactly if they are going to be a buyer at the trade deadline, as we said at the beginning of the show, they desperately more than ever want to be a buyer. Yes?
Yes. But I honestly feel like even with them being a buyer, they can't buy, honestly, in many cases, especially with the offense, without also selling. Right? Like they
Why?
Like we talk about part of the problem, part of the solution. They have a lot of guys that can be parts of the solution, but they have too many guys for slots. Like you can make a four outfielder and three spot rotation work, but when you add Yoshida into the mix and then you bring Bregman back, like you can't trade for a bat without trading a bat away.
Yeah, that's the impetus for the Devers trade.
Yeah.
They had a mismatched roster. They feel a little bit better about that, but you're right. You're right.
So it's going to be interesting because it's like you say Jaren Duran is part of the more so part of the solution than part of the problem, and I agree with that. But they have a lot.
All right, I'll give you one. This the baseline, and then you got to fill in the gaps. Fernando Tatis Jr. Right.
What about him?
Jaren Duran and
a lot more.
A lot more.
A lot more.
But you would like that deal.
But I like Fernando Tatis Jr. in Boston. Yes.
Okay. Let it be.
But there would be a lot like. I feel like for Tatis, you're starting with Duran and one of the big three and more.
Okay. We got to find some guys to trade for. Colorado, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Miami.
A lot of places known for middle of the order bats there.
Yeah, well, find one. That's your job. All right. Jacob's job is to trend and do a good one. You ready? People can't hear you. They can't.
Oh,
hear.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure everyone feels as confident as I do. All right. Here you go. Here's the trend. That's great. Jacob, that's not riding the hot hand. You ride the hot hand.
What's the hot hand?
The hot hand was Ace of Spades.
What was the first song you played today?
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, but we've been hot ever since then, so maybe you ride. I don't know. He's been mixing it up.
It's hard to get the Hey Black Belly in this song. It's hard to wait that long.
Who's walking song?
I don't know.
It's okay. Give you a hint. Relief pitcher about 20 years ago.
Oh, Bob Stanley. I don't know.
20 years ago. Mike Timlin.
Mike Timlin. Okay. Great. Super. I think he's doing the Pan Mass Challenge.
Hey, good for him.
All right. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Gordo. We're going to be with you I'm going to be with you through the pregame show because I'm doing the pregame show today. What a time to be alive. Gordo's going to be part of the first segment of that. I appreciate him before he goes over the Savannah Bananas. This week also, speaking of old baseball players, 1975, Nesson did a very good job with that, I thought. I liked Jemai's polyester.
Jemai crushed it.
I said I would tell you to burn that shirt, except it's flame retardant, so that's not an option. But Nesson did a pretty good job. That was entertaining. I think the Red Sox could have done a lot better job. First of all, starting with, how do you don't roll out those uniforms, the 75 uniforms, the polyesters? Oh, my goodness. The 75
uniforms.
They've
done it recently, too.
No, they haven't.
Well, there's pictures of Mookie Betts in them, so it's not, they can't be that far away. Like,
Yeah.
So they've done it before.
I mean, they had the weird – their belts were – they're these built-in belts with the two snaps. It's basically like – it's how George Scott managed to get through these games without, RIP. But they should have just run out those guys. I know they did something at the beginning of the year, but I feel like with the Cincinnati Reds in town, like that was a sweet spot. Cincinnati Reds, World Series, 50 years.
Don't you think it's weird, though, that they're like, if it was in Cincinnati, that's one thing. But like at Fenway Park to commemorate a World Series that they lost. Isn't that a little weird?
No. It's just like 86, commemorate 86. Right?
Yeah, isn't that weird,
I mean,
too?
That was a heartbreaking World Series loss. 67. I mean, people fawn over 67. Right?
People what?
Fawned. Do you know, like...
I thought you said fought.
No, fawn.
Fawn.
I have to spell everything to everybody today.
Spell
F-A-W-N. Fawn.
All right, there we go.
P-H-A-W-N. Fawn. Anyway, 617-779-7937. I did ask Jim Rice, which he thought was a better team, 75 or 78.
What did he say?
75.
There you go. I remember both teams very well.
Yeah, of course.
It was about negative 20-something years
okay.
old.
Okay. Another thing that happened this week, bizarrely, was the Red Sox going to the White House, or a portion of the Red Sox go in the White House, and they think of everything. They were workshopping their trip. They're workshopping the trip for after they win the World Series. They think of everything.
This is the essence of visualizing and speaking it into existence. We are going to be here
to run through. To run through. What was your thoughts when you saw that, Gorda? The video, in case people missed it, the White House Communications Department put out a video of, I don't know the exact number. I'm going to say about 10-ish. I mean, you could rattle them off probably, right? You memorized.
I don't have it memorized, but can I give you my thoughts, my initial thoughts?
Yeah, and so, then
my
thought yeah, so anyway, like White House put later. Out this video of about 10 or so Red Sox players walking by, shaking the hand of President.
Introducing themselves.
And Trump had no, believe me, he had no idea.
No, don't say that.
No.
He knew.
No, he did not know. And also, by the way, in fairness to him, most baseball fans wouldn't have known.
Yeah, but that's why Donald Trump is the biggest Red Sox fan. He knows Brendan Bernardino. He told him.
Oh, did he?
He said, yeah.
What did he say?
Brendan Bernardino, he introduced himself. He goes, hi, I'm Brendan Bernardino. He goes, I know that.
Let it be said, let it be done. What are your thoughts?
Well, my first thought when I saw it was, did this team win the World Series last year and I just forgot? But then my second thought, after I'd gone and listened and saw that he supposedly, definitely was pretending to know who Brendan Bernardino was, but my thought, I tried to picture him like in the Oval Office watching the game, and Bernie comes in, he's like, oh my God, he's coming in for like the 10th time in 14 days. Like, what is going on here? He's like, somebody has to stop this.
Yes, that would have been great if he just busted off, like, you know, like, they've been using you a lot, Bernie.
Your usage has been insane.
Yeah, usage,
like,
yeah.
Is your shoulder okay?
Yeah, like, yeah, congratulations on, you know, oh, Will, you look outstanding. Like, you gained all that weight back from that sickness early in the year.
You had a great
It would have been great if
Cincinnati.
Like he just, like, rattled off these random things about these players.
They're introducing themselves, and he, like, rattles off something, like, good that they did this year, or, like... Like Whitlock, oh man! Like you really turned it around after that, the
OG trips to the White House, that doesn't crack the top, whatever, four, which there's always been four, right?
You're saying that trip to the White House doesn't crack?
No, it doesn't crack the top four
of the actual champions where the whole team went.
So if we're gonna do the 30 for 30 on Red Sox trips to the White House, you go back to the first one. I remember they went from Fort Myers. They took the day. They flew up to Washington.
This is 04?
This is, well, 05.
Okay, yeah, 05.
So they flew up from Fort Myers for the day to go up to Washington, which doesn't happen anymore. You wait till you play the Orioles or the Nationals.
Yeah, why would they not just
go to the
Orioles?
Yeah, so they fly up for the day. The big story then was that Theo didn't go. Because it was George W. Bush, and everyone's like, Theo's not going because of that. Theo didn't go. That was the big thing. I think all the players went, for the most part. Maybe with a couple who didn't. Manny, maybe, who forgot what time the bus was.
Manny
or
and Julian Tavares.
Yeah,
oh,
I
no,
don't know.
Julian wasn't there.
Yeah, but that was
They're
the big thing. That was
them.
Weird that, like, again, they flew up just for that day. Then you go to 13. I'm sorry. Then you go 07, 08.
Now Manny's palling with Julian Tavares.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. Oh, that was the... That was the David Ortiz selfie one, right?
No, that was 13.
Was it 13?
Yeah. Selfies were not a thing in 08.
Oh, you're right. Because yeah. I just remember. You sure?
Yeah.
Because
the
both were Obama, right?
So, Yeah.
Yeah.
But he definitely, I remember the selfie.
So I don't even remember anything about 08, to be perfectly honest. I don't remember.
I don't either.
I would think I went. Did I go? Yeah, I went.
The iPhone was invented on June, or it was introduced on June 27th, 2007. Yeah. But it definitely didn't have a front-facing camera
for
itself.
I did go, so that was 08, and I think the takeaway from that was when you're going as a reporter, like, they just put you on the back lawn, and one of the things I remember is that the grass is so bad. Like, you think it would be like myopia. Yeah, myopia hunt club, good polo-level grass, and we're all herded back into this area where you can kind of see them and whatever. And then you go into the press room and everyone takes a picture at the podium and, you know, that. It was kind of an underwhelming thing. So that was 08. And then you have 13, 14. So you're saying that's when...
That's the selfie.
David Ortiz took the selfie, right?
Did that end up just being an ad? That was an ad, right?
Well, he never admitted to it.
That was an ad.
It was definitely an ad. It was definitely an ad. Because the White House was not happy with it, right?
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was off script. And also I think it was also because they thought it was absolutely an ad. Which it was.
Oh, well, fair.
Yeah. And so, but think about that. Like, everybody, now everyone does selfies,
this is
right?
A great picture. Yeah, back then, selfies, if you wanted to take a selfie, it was like, oh my God, you're so funny.
Yeah.
Now, selfies, I feel like, are more common. Like, if you want a picture, you're more likely to just take a selfie than to ask the guy walking down the street.
Remember, because we've gone an hour and a half into the show, we haven't mentioned Joe Kelly's name, or at least for a third time. But remember when Jeter's last day, they were going through congratulating Jeter, and Joe stops to take the selfie with Jeter.
I don't remember
that. Oh, you don't remember that?
No.
And then his wife tweeted... Ashley tweet said who knew that the guy that I had a poster of in the wall would be taking a selfie with my husband someday.
That's fantastic.
So you have that.
Wait, is this when Jeter played at Fenway in the last game?
His last game.
He should have just like retired after the walk.
Yeah, his last game. Yeah. So where they had the mic that didn't stretch all the way out to the field. But you have that, and then you have 19 where. Well, obviously, in 14, another big part of it, you had Johnny Gomes in the red, white, and blue coat.
Oh, and all that stuff.
That was awesome. That was a whole scene. That was the best one. That was the top one.
Johnny Gomes' suit there was beyond it. That was an 11 out of 10.
Yeah. That was the top one. And then you got to 18 or 19 when that was the first time, like, some guys aren't going to go. Mm-hmm. There's some guy, like David Ortiz, I remember I interviewed him right before, and he told me, he said, I wouldn't go. If it was up to me, I wouldn't go. And the Red Sox were so on edge. The management was so on edge about that whole thing.
Did Cora not go?
Cora didn't go. Yeah. So
I'm looking at the picture. There's a lot of guys. So
yeah. No, there were guys. But Cora didn't go. Probably a couple other guys didn't go. Probably not a lot. But anyway, that was another one. So if we're going to power rank the White House visits, I'm going to go with 14. I'm going to go with probably 05, because if you make the trip up from Fort Myers, you're going to get everybody to go because they just want to leave Fort Myers. And
it's the OG. Like,
yeah, exactly. I mean, first time. 08, and then... And then this one.
And then you forgot 19. Does 19 come before this one? And then this one is the worst one, naturally. You nailed it.
Yeah.
If you agree with what I said there, you nailed it.
19 is fourth, I think. Just because, you know, there was a lot of some guys didn't go. Anyway, all right. Well, I thought that was worthy conversation, Gordo.
Some good White House visit conversation on the baseball
show. Yeah, well, exactly. But are they going to be – here's the thing, though. Is that we talk about workshopping. Are they going to be able to do this? Let's be realistic about this team, okay? It is striking. One thing that we can take away from that image of them going through the White House, holy mackerel, like, you got to add some players. I mean, these guys, they're fine. Like, they're fine. But one of the problems that they've had is that when you do face off with, even like with the Blue Jays and some of these other teams, and we're certainly going to see it with the Cubs, with the Phillies, with the Dodgers, you're going to be looking like, oh, the gritty gutty Red Sox is great that they're hanging in, but they need, and I'll come back to it. I mean, they need another Schwarber. They need someone dropped in there. And like, I think that you can piece it together enough till then, especially with Bregman coming back. They need more Bregmans. Go get me some more Bregmans.
You could say that about most teams, but in particular this Red Sox team.
But that's my point. The White Sox visit, the White House visit, the White Sox visit, the White House visit was a microcosm of this, right?
Yeah, I mean,
thank you.
The thing with the Red Sox lineup right now is there's no. With some teams, it's like you get to the 7, 8, 9, and it's just. I mean, it's the easiest outs you've ever seen. It's an easy inning under 12 pitches. Like you're fine. This team doesn't really have that. Like. Because like Carlos Narvaez is producing from the catcher position. Seidon Rafaela is supposed to be your defense-first guy, but he's been hitting. Story's turned it around. Like, you don't have 7, 8, 9 where it's kind of an automatic inning there. But you also don't have 2, 3, 4, 5 where it's scary hours for the pitching staff on the other side.
Ooh, scary hours?
Yeah, you don't have the scary hours.
Okay.
So but the beauty is you can get that.
All right.
You can change it up, but you gotta hang around until that point.
Yeah, it all comes down to, I mean, and Jeff in Watertown said this, and it's worth listening to today. This is fork in the road Saturday in a lot of ways. Like,
you said, most important game of the year.
It really is the most important game of the year. I mean, if Walker Buehler goes out and pitches well, then all of a sudden, boom, the conversation has changed. If he doesn't pitch well, if he has a stinker, then you're back to, well, okay, here's come Kyle Harrison and hope for the best, I guess.
I don't know if Kyle Harrison's coming soon.
You know, I thought his thing was after, like, they can call him up now.
They can, but I don't know if it's going to happen as fast.
Well, Tanner Houck, he was maybe. Great against AA guys. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
That's the thing is, like, it might turn into, like, we're talking about the offense needs to stay afloat until they can get reinforcements. It might be that this fifth spot in the rotation, whether it be trusting Tanner Houck to try to come back and figure it out on the fly, whether it be. You know, they keep talking about how they like the ball coming out of Buehler's hands and, you know, it's just a couple other adjustments he needs to make, whatever. Trust him until that point. Like, it might be the same thing.
Hey, listen, but you're a race against time. It's the same thing with the Devers conversation. It's the same thing we said. That has not changed. I don't care what Rafael Devers is doing in San Francisco. Yeah, it's fun to watch from afar, but I don't care. Like, the conversation hasn't changed. You are in a race against time to find out if you are a buyer or a seller. That is the thing that distinguishes this year, Gordo, from any other year. That is, once you made that trade, it is, you got to figure out what you have in a hurry. I think that they've been somewhat fortunate because they've been able to do it with Roman Anthony. They've been somewhat fortunate because they have been able to do it with Lucas Giolito. They've been somewhat fortunate because they have some of these guys turn around from that brief respite after the Devers trade. But they are in a race against time, and that's why these shows are so important to the public. Yes, we're doing a public service.
Once a week. Give the vibe check.
We give the vibe. Like, yeah.
This is why you tune into the
WXVIBE. That's what it is.
WXVIBE.
I don't know. It seems like a good stat.
Expected vibes.
Yeah.
Per something.
Yeah. Okay. All right. 617-779-7937. I'm going to be with you all the way through the pregame show. Gordo will be part of that equation as well. It's a great time. We're going to give you the lineup when he comes back. We're going to give you some Red Sox news when we come back. We're going to give you some entertainment and enjoyment when we come back. Once again, if you're heading over to the Bananas, Savannah Bananas, I hope you have a great time. I hope this got you ready for the great game of baseball. We're going to keep on moving all the way up until first pitch in Nationals Park, one of the worst parks in the entire league.
Oh, that's mean.
All right, sorry.
It might be true, but that's mean.
Sorry. All right, be back after this. I was like, I had the boombox out last night in West Beach, in Beverly. And I was like, cracking this as the fireworks was going on. I'm just like, isn't life great? Woo! Woo! Right? Everyone have a good 4th.
I love the 4th of July. Great holiday. Awesome holiday.
I'm not a good holiday guy.
You're not a good holiday guy?
Nah.
But all you got to do is like play cornhole and
I know, I'm
can
not,
jam.
I don't like the interruption in my life.
You're just like a standard routine.
I do.
Sometimes you got to break the routine. I was still working
at Starbucks in the morning.
How
still
early?
6 a.m.
6 a.m. Starbucks run?
4th of July. No, not Starbucks run.
Like a Starbucks work sesh.
Yeah.
Bradshaw class.
Yeah. Yep. Got to post the podcast. Got to write the stories. I wrote the big Roman Anthony. Can Roman Anthony be the next James Wood story? It's a great one. It's a good one. Everyone should listen. I mean, not only listen, but read. All right. So... We said we have a lineup and we have some news from the Red Sox as they get ready to play the Nationals today. Which do you want first, the news or the lineup?
Let's do the lineup.
All right. Leading off, I think for the first time, right?
Certainly the first time for the Red Sox.
This reminds me, who is the guy, Brian Barrett used to rail. He used to be so offended this guy let off once a couple years ago.
Tony Renda.
No, it wasn't Tony Renda. Oh, my goodness. It was a second baseman, though. Anyway, I'll figure it out. But
was it that guy that they called up? He was like a 30-year-old, 10-year minor leaguer during the COVID era or something?
Yeah, he let off. Barrett was so upset over that. All right, anyway, Nate Eaton leading off, playing third base.
Let's go.
Roby Gonzalez playing second today. Roman Anthony, he's playing right field. He's hitting third. Rob Resnider DHing. Carlos Narvaez catching. The red hot Trevor Story with baseballs and boring stickers all over his body. Shortstop. Jarren Duran dropped all the way down to number 7. He's in left field. Babraham Toro.
There we go.
You're welcome.
Babraham.
TM, I owe you $5. First base, Sidan Rafaela in center field, and Walker Buehler catching, pitching. He may be pitching and catching. All right, the news, Alex Cora told reporters, Masayoshida will be active during the upcoming homestand. They're not sure when. Tanner Houck will make another rehab start. So, your thoughts on Masayoshida coming back. Savior? Question mark, dot, dot, dot.
I wouldn't say savior, but I think he can help. He puts together a professional at-bat, makes contact. Like, he's the type of guy that when the guy gets on second base with no outs, like, he's the one you want up. He can hit the ground. We've seen with Yoshida, he can hit the ball on the ground to second base, get the guy to third.
You can't show, so that's what you're... Because he's a great 4-3 guy.
We joke, but he can do a lot of things that a lot of guys on this team don't do well. I would not play him in the field. I don't know what this whole first base thing is.
It's nothing. It's like, could you imagine him playing first base?
That would be so
funny.
That
poor guy.
That would be so funny.
It'd be like, you know, it's...
They should send him on a rehab game to play with the Savannah Bananas today, and he can play first base in that game.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be,
sure.
That would be fun.
Sure.
Would he be the shortest first baseman like in the modern era?
That's a great question.
He'd be
the most mechanical first baseman in the...
How tall is Luis Arraez? I know he's not as short.
He's not as short as Masa.
He's 5'10". Yoshida 5'8".
By the way, Babraham Toro, picking machine.
Oh my God, picking machine.
He's really good at picking it.
And he always falls over too, which makes it look even cooler.
Super unathletic.
Holds the foot on the base.
Super unathletic. It feels like his hamstrings are going to snap at any point.
This is why you got to teach Masa first base.
But
he's ready.
But Babraham, like, he's a picking machine.
It's weird because, like, he plays first base. It feels like he never makes a mistake over there.
A good third base.
Yeah, third base, it's a different story. And they keep whenever they both play, and today's different, I guess, because Romy's at second. But whenever you see Toro and Romy playing, it's usually Toro at third and Romy at first. Wouldn't you think it'd be better to go the other way around?
Yes.
Romy at third?
It's weird. And it also Romy playing second. I don't want to see that anymore either.
He what is it? Only a couple games this year, but I forget what it was. He made a mistake at second base at one point.
Yeah, no, it was a big mistake. I think it was the Angel series. Big mistake.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a mistake. It's like, why is he playing here?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think here's the thing, Gordo. Bregman comes back, play Bregman in third, play Meyer at second.
There you go.
Boom, boom, boom. Yep. Whatever at first. Toro.
If you want to platoon Meyer at second.
Romy Anthony. You know what? Romy Gonzalez stat.
His full name is Roman. Do you know that?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Are they hitting back-to-back today?
I just gave you the lineup.
We just set the lineup. I think they are.
Romy Gonzalez, which we had on the 2-minute grill yesterday. I know that you listened, but while you were playing cornhole. But Romy Gonzalez, they are 6-for-51 in pinch hits this year, right? Romy Gonzalez is 4-for-6.
Oof. Yeah, I feel like it's like Ref Snider and Willie.
No, Ref Snider doesn't have a hit.
Yeah, they don't. They haven't done
anything. Roby Gonzalez has 4 of the 6 pinch hits. And
who has the other two?
And also, little known fact, he is the next door neighbor to the owner of the most pinch hits ever, Lenny Harris. This is the type of stuff that you can only get in the Baseball Isn't Boring feed.
It's a lost art.
Hold on. Let me write that down, Jacob.
It's a lost art.
It's
pitch
a lost art.
We need more Matt Stairs.
When was it found? When was it lost?
After Matt Stairs retired.
DH.
What?
After the introduction of the DH.
You know who was a sneaky, great pinch hitter? You said Matt Stairs. Matt Stairs, for anyone who remembers, Jacob, you don't remember because you were negative 10. But
answer that. Do you remember Matt Stairs?
Unfortunately not.
Okay. Matt Stairs was the epitome. I am going up there. I'm Canadian. I'm burly. And I'm going to swing as hard as I can.
Underrated word, burly.
Burly. Oh, no, that's Joe Castaigne's word. And anytime a big fat pitcher came in, it's like, here comes he's a burly sort. It's great. But you know what's a sneaky good pinch hitter? Pedroia.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
Pedroia was a sneaky good pinch hitter early on. Because also, like, you have to go up there hacking. You have to go up there swinging. Roby Gonzalez, in that two-minute grill, which I know that everybody heard, McFarland Energy sponsor, he talked about that pinch hit last year, otherwise known as the Derek White Baseball Isn't Boring game, the Toronto Blue Jays game. You paying attention, Gordo?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm trying to find Matt Stairs' pinch hitter stats.
Roby Gonzalez, when he came in and pinch hit, remember, against the Toronto Blue Jays, got the big hit, and Derek White celebrates with the Baseball Isn't Boring t-shirt.
Tie the game? Did Romy tie the game with that hit?
I think he did. It was like this epic comeback, and he said, I went up there, and I was going to swing at the first pitch no matter what. And he's like, it was like a foot outside. It didn't make a difference. I think he plopped it over someone's head. Boom, boom, boom. There you go.
He had a walk-off. I don't know if the walk-off was pinch hitting. He had a walk-off. Last year was his first year with the Red Sox, right?
Yeah.
I think it was right when he first came up because Romy, like right now, Romy's like this trusted guy, especially like with left-handed pitching. You trust the guy. Mm. At this stage, it was like, will this guy ever get a hit? We don't know. Like, we don't know how long he's going to be up here. He walked the game off at some point last year.
So you trust Romy. He's a good pinch hitter.
I trust Romy. I trust Romy. I trust Romy.
Hold on. I'm writing this stuff down. Gordo trusts Romy.
Even against right-handed pitching.
Jacob thinks something is a lost art.
You
know what's a lost art? Saying things are a lost art. Right?
Good to know.
How old are you?
22.
How does a 22-year-old say anything's a lost art?
I see it on social media.
Yeah, if pinch hitting is a lost art, how do you know?
You know what you should do? You should start like a TikTok of just things that are a lost art. I'm giving you gold here.
Got you. I'll make it happen. Also,
what else is a lost art?
I mean, I don't know. The lost art of short first baseman.
What was that ever?
Masataka Yoshida would be the second shortest first baseman of all time. Yeah.
Is that true?
Since 1901, he would be the second shortest first baseman of all time.
To touch the position once?
Yes.
Who's the shortest? Do you have that?
Charlie Dexter in 1901.
Oh, of course. That is a great stat. Look at you. Look at you. Wow. You know what's a lost art? 22-year-olds actually knowing what they're doing. Good job.
Taking a shot at 22-year-olds.
Well, I mean,
that's your community.
I'm trying to build you up. Feel good. You feel good about yourself?
Absolutely.
That's little things like
that's
that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The second shortest.
Second short. How old? What is like? So is Masa listed at 5'7"?
I thought he was 5'8". I'll check it.
No, he's definitely not 5'8". I remember the late Joe Morgan, the second baseman for the old Reds, went back to back with Pedroia to see who was taller. I'm like, Masa's like Pedroia's short. Wherever Pedroia was, that's what Masa Yoshida.
He's listed at 5'8", but I agree he's not 5'8".
So 5'8". So
I'm 5'9".
What is it? Smacky McGillicuddy or something?
Charlie Dexter in 1901. The most recent player who was 5'8" to play the position was Ron Belliard in 2008.
I remember. Oh, Ronnie Belliard. It's Ronnie Belliard.
He had like the. I think he had dreads going down.
He's the only player to play at least 20 games at first and admit to being 6 feet tall. Or less than six feet tall.
And admit to it?
Wait. You're saying that there hasn't been anyone under 6 foot that has played more than 20 games at first base?
I don't think that's the case, but that's what it's saying on Baseball Reference.
Luis Arraez is listed at 5'10".
So that's obviously wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But believe me, Luis Arraez is much taller than Masa Yoshida.
Yes. Agreed.
Also,
Very different.
I asked everybody, and I appreciate everybody who had reached out on social media showing where they have, they were listening to the show. I appreciate everybody. I'll make sure I get in contact with you and give you your stickers. also, I desperately want somebody to work their social media magic and superimpose Forrest Gump running next to Masa Yoshida. Right?
What?
I mean,
yeah. No, you're right, because Yoshida has the
perfect
best
form,
the best running form of all time.
Form.
Speaking of perfect form, who has the most pinch hit home runs of all time?
John Vanderbilt.
It is Matt Stairs.
Is it?
And how many pinch hit?
I have no idea.
23.
Really?
He hit 20. Think about how ridiculous that is.
Wow. John Vanderbilt has the most pinch hits in a season, like 26. Romy Gonzalez has a ways to go. Matt Stairs, some good Matt Stairs talk. Well,
that's your next job, Rob, is get Romy Gonzalez and Matt Stairs on a podcast together.
He said he's a next-door neighbor to Lenny Harris.
Okay, you're right. Wait, that's an easy.
He said Lenny Harris has gloves that say all-time on it as he mows the lawn with his all-time gloves.
What a
start.
There
we go. All right, it's a great show, another great show. But you know what? Everybody's in luck. Everybody who loves the pregame show. They're in luck because I'm going to be hanging around. Gordo's going to be hanging around for a little bit.
The show's ending, but is it really
What
ending?
Time is Savannah Bananas?
They are at 7
o'clock.
Yeah, but you got to get there at 6. That's the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
So, but I appreciate everybody who called in, who joined the conversation. It was another fantastic. Remember, @PlayTessie, right? Correct?
Oh, yeah. And no underscores or anything.
@PlayTessie, the podcast, Red Hot. Also, Baseballs Are Boring. @BB Is Boring. We're going to keep it rolling. It's biggest month.